Okay, good.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. Okay, so what we're going to be doing today is a piece of Parshas Naso, which is the Parsha that has Birchat Kohanim, the bracha the Kohanim give. We just had Pesach not that long ago, and certainly Shavuos in our just very, very recently. And we all know how special it is to go to Shul in order to hear Birchas Kohanim. And there are just a very few psukim in Parshas Naso that really introduce this whole concept to us. I must say that Birchas Kohanim always held a very special place in my heart because I had a son whose name is Yair Shalom, who was named based a little bit on Birchas Kohanim. So when I think of Birchas Kohanim, I think of when he was born and the meaning behind so much of these particular blessings that Hashem gives us via these words. So what I'd like to do is read with you, just begin by just reading the text in the Parsha, translating them, and get to what I think are some of the most important questions that we need to understand when it comes to when it has to come to Birchas Kohanim, okay? So it starts in Perek Vav, chapter 6, starts with Pasuk Chav Bet, verse number 22. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, and Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Daber el Aharon ve'el banav Lemor, speak to Aaron and to his sons, Lemor, saying, Ko devarachu et b'nei Yisrael, Amor Lahem. Speak to Aaron and his son, saying, this is how you shall bless the children of Israel, saying to them. And then once he gives this introduction, Ko Tevorachu, so you should bless them, saying to them, we have the famous the trilogy, so to speak, of the blessings. Yefarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha. May Hashem bless you and watch over you. Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha v'yikunecha. May the Lord cause his countenance to shine to you and favor you. Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord raise his countenance towards you and grant you peace. And then there's a summation. V'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael. He continues speaking to the Kohanim, the priests, saying to them that they shall bestow my name upon the children of Yisrael, ve'ani avarachem, and I will bless them. Okay? So what do we have here? Again, an introduction, giving some sort of instructions to the Kohanim, the actual words that the Kohanim are meant to say, and then a conclusion with the words, you shall put my name upon the Jewish people, va'ani avarachem, and I will bless them. Now, what we find right away at the beginning, through these first words, when he says, ko tevorachu, you should bless them in this way, ko, in this way, we're seeing that what is being set out for the Kohanim is a specific format that they are to follow in giving this bracha, okay? And they were committed to doing this same format whenever they bless the Jewish people. In Eretz Yisrael, right, there is Birchas Kohanim every day. We'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. In Chutz Laaretz, we only do it during Musaf of the Chagim, of the festivals, okay? But it's specific. What do we mean? In what way? So the Mefarshim all say different. What do we need to say specifically? The Rabbag says Lashon HaKodesh. When you bless them, the Kohanim always had to do it in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew. That lest, if they translated it, something would be lost. It's Lashon HaKodesh. It's a holy language made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by God himself. And so there are certain nuances within the Jewish language that we don't want to be lost in translation. B'chizkuni adds, ba'amidah, we have to say Birkas Kohanim standing. B'kol Ram, it's explained, in a loud tone, not softly, but we say it, but it's said loudly. Panim el panim, when the actual bracha is being said, it's being said face to face. The Kohanim face the Jewish people, the audience, and we face them, albeit we cover our faces. Talk about that later, hopefully. Rashi adds in that space where it says, Ko tabarachu ve'emor lahem, the word emor has a vav that's not necessarily needed. Why is that vav inserted? So he says it's called malay when you use an extra vav. Instead of like a cholam chaser, we only have the dot, so to speak, it's full, that when they bless the nation, it had to be done not quickly and not as if, here, I got to get out and go to business really fast, but you had to do it b'chavana, with intent, uvalev shalev, with an open, full heart, okay? So what we're saying here is that they are going to be saying the words, the exact words in the exact way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu God wanted. The priestly blessing wasn't like a magic potion that the Kohanim themselves would make up or could add to or put their own little two cents into, so to speak. It wasn't, Rashbam says, Lo tavarchu mi berchat pichem ka adam sheomer tavo l'rosh ploni kach l'kach. This wasn't meant to be like a nice blessing that somebody go to somebody and say, oh, give me a bracha, I'm getting married. And somebody says, oh, you should be very much matzliach, you should have a wonderful family, whatever it might be. This was not that kind of a bracha. This is specifically coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu via the Kohanim in a very precise manner. At the end, he adds, once he tells us what Yivarechacha and all the way through the three psukim, he adds something that's also interesting, where he says, Hashem says to the Kohanim, V'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael. And your goal, your mission, via saying Kohanim, these three brachot, is to put my name, to lay my name on B'nai Yisrael. What do we mean by lay my name on B'nai Yisrael? Well, she says, you're supposed to, that when they bless them, at least in the base Hamikdash, depending when, all this, they use the Shem HaMeforash. We know that there's a name that Hashem uses that we do not use, right? But they were expected to use this very specific and holy name that is reserved for Hashem only in certain times. That was what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to lay this name, so to speak, on B'nai Yisrael. What do we mean by that? And it's interesting that all three brachos that are in the Birchas Kohanim have Hashem's name in it. Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Hashem panav elecha. That we are, what we're trying to do, we're saying, is sanctifying the Jewish people by placing Hashem's name upon them. It's as if in some ways we're noting, we're showing a closeness that God has to his people. It's giving, putting his name on them, his stamp of approval, so to speak, on them. It's as if we're the bearers of his Medal of Honor, his recipients. We are that special people, and via our being that people who can bear his name in deed, bear his name in thought, bear his name in principle, through that and having that put upon us and being able to accept that honor, so to speak, then I will bless them. Okay? The Mavi wants to say something very beautifully. Says that by putting the name of Hashem upon them, what we're saying is that here we stand, essentially in the Beit HaMikdash when this was supposed to be done initially. And we stand in the Beit HaMikdash and are blessed by the Kohanim. And Hashem's name is put upon us. It's as if the Shekhinah, the presence of God, comes down upon us. And now with that name, the presence of God that comes down upon us, and we can accept that holiness, then via that, the bracha, the blessing, can come upon us. Okay? Now, the two words that I think are very important here is va'ani avarachem, I will bless them. That's how this little section ends. Once you've said these, the Kohanim iterate these three blessings. They so to speak, daven to Hashem that these blessings should befall B'nai Yisrael. He ends by saying, "V'ani avarachem." And Rashi says something very interesting there. He says two things. He says, "Ani avarachem, I will bless them." Who's, I'll be honest, we know who's doing the blessing. Hashem says, I'll do the blessing. But who's getting the blessing? I will bless them. So the second Peirush of Rashi is, V'ani avarachem, I will bless them. I will bless the Kohanim. Why? Because the Jews just got their bracha. The question is, what's about the Kohanim? They weren't in that blessing. They're participating in this process. So Hashem finishes by saying, "V'ani avarachem, don't worry, they won't be left out of the loop. They too shall get their blessing." The first Peirush of Rashi, and which is the way most of the Mepharshim do look at it, "V'ani avarachem" is, I am the one who's doing the blessing. Do not be misled. The Kohanim are going to say the words of the three psukim, but the blessing will come via me. I will give it to the Jewish people. I will be, he says, uses the word maskim. I will validate their words. I will agree with the words that the Kohanim are saying, but don't be misled. I am the source of the blessing itself. Okay, so if that's so, that Hashem is really Ba'ani Avarachem, and that's really how he ends this whole, these few psukim, what do we need the Kohanim for? I mean, if God wants to give us a blessing, just give us the blessing, right? There are many, many blessings in our lives that none of us went and asked for, and we are blessed with numerous things. So what is going on here? Okay, what is the role of the Kohanim here? Why can't Hashem just give the bracha himself without the Kohanim? And if the Kohanim are the ones that he does want to be involved in this, why are they the ones who are chosen? Is there a reason it's Dafka, particularly them? Okay, so in order to solve these questions, what I'd really like to do is start with the Chinuch. Sefer HaChinuch, as you know, is a sefer that lists the mitzvos of the Torah according to Parshas HaShavua, okay? According to the parsha we read every week. So if we look in Sefer HaChinuch, we find that the mitzvah is mitzvah Birchat Kohanim, the mitzvah of the Kohanim to bless us, b'chol yom. That's the way the Chinuch writes it, every day. And as I said to you before, the original practice was to have Birchat Kohanim every day in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, as it states in Gemara Tanis, Daf Chavav. And that's what the Rambam says. Really, it was meant to be every single day. The Ramah was what was Paskins, that he decided that in Chutz La'aretz, they would only duchen during Musaf of the festivals. Okay. And that was because they were had so much on their minds to make money and to be able to farm or whatever they may have done for their professions, that they wouldn't have that shavut nefesh. They wouldn't have that commerce spirit that was needed in order to bless the people. And so in Chutz La'aretz, outside Eretz Yisrael, we only do it during the festivals. Okay, most of the festivals. Now, what's the goal of all this? What was the mission? What are we going on here? Why are the Kohanim involved? And he says, the Chinuch says, Shechafetz Hashem betuvo hagadol, the God in his greatness, wanted levarech amo, to bless his nation, al yedei hamashortim hachonim tamid beit Hashem. He wanted to bless them via his servants that served him in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple. And these Kohanim who worked in the Beit HaMikdash, all their minds were centered about closeness to God and doing his service. And these Kohanim had such fear of God that all day and all night through their service, uvis chutam tachul habracha aleihem, and in their schus, in their merit, the bracha that God wanted to give to the Jewish people would now come upon the Jews. Okay, so in other words, who's giving the bracha? Who's the source of the bracha? God. Okay, the Kohanim are a vehicle. They are a vehicle for the bracha. In their schus, the bracha is bestowed on Bnei Yisrael because of who they are. Okay, and he goes on to say a very famously, the Chinuch, and he says, and don't, if you want to know why bother with the Kohanim, you know, if God wanted to give the bracha, let him do it. Why didn't he need any people involved here at all? He answers it very, very, very succinctly. And he says, I've told you this many times, the Chinuch says, Ki b'koach heksher ma'aseinu tachul habracha. Blessing comes because of our deeds. The better we are, the more of a chance we have that blessing will fall on us. Ki yado baruch hu p'tucha l'kol sho'el b'yoto mukshar u'muchan l'kabalat hatov. God wants to give bracha. God wants to be the source of bracha. He will open his hand to anybody who asks, as long as they are worthy and capable of being the receptacle of that particular bracha. So we have to be worthy of the bracha. We have to do something to be worthy of this bracha. And he adds, we have to ask for it. So what is going on, he explains, the Chinuch. And it really, if you sort of imagine yourself in shul on Yontif, I think you can really feel it. What do we all do? You know, everybody, you always hear all these people, the women, you know, rushing into shul. You know, if they miss the beginning, they want to get there for Birchas Kohanim. And suddenly everybody stands up and there's like an aura that sort of descends upon the shul, right? As we stand silently, we have the Kohanim, we'll talk about a little more in a second, in front of us, wrapped in their talasim, saying these brachos, davening these brachos, being that vehicle of schus for us. So we are standing there saying, in essence, we are ready. We want to be the receptacle to be able to get the bracha. We are ready for it. We hope we are worthy of it. Now the Kohen can daven for us, bring these exact words in the exact way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it, so that this process of Hashem being above He will sanctify us and allow this bracha to fall upon us. Okay? The Sfas Emes says something very nice along the same lines. He's a little bit differently. He says, Hatachtonim rechokim mikdusha. We're far from holiness down here in this world. This world is tainted with so many things that we all know about that are very far from holiness. Ve'ein yecholim lekabel habracha. It's hard sometimes for the bracha, the blessing of God and all its holiness, to find its way down into this world. Ki'im al yedei avodah utfila. Except when there is avodah, there is service, there is doing of mitzvos, utfila, and when we daven and we request. Va'az na'ase et ratzon, then it turns into a time of desire. Shahakadosh Baruch Hu mitkarev el hatachtonim. And then God comes from above and he comes down towards us here on this earth. So we stand there with bakasha, we stand there with desire, we stand there waiting to be blessed via these mishortim, these servants of God who are closer to him on a daily, through their daily avodah, their daily service. And then we wait and hope that God's presence and Shechina will envelop the situation. Va'ani avarachim. And then Hashem will bless us. So we see, at least till here, that there is a place for the Kohanim. The Kohanim are serving as a conduit, as a means by which to link the Elyonim and the Tachtonim, the heavens above and the world that we are here, okay? And the most important thing we're trying to say here is they are not the source of the bracha. Hashem is still the source of the bracha. Now, in order to better understand where this is going, and in order to understand why the Kohanim on another level, there is a really beautiful and a beautiful, beautiful Gemara in Chagiga, Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, that will help elucidate what the Kohanim's role was and why we needed them and what we're to learn from this whole avoda, the service of the Birchat Kohanim. The Gemara says, Reish Lakish says, Kol ha-mistakel b'shlosha dvarim einav kehot, keshet nasi kohanim. Anybody who looks at three things, his eyes are like blind or dimmed. What three things? A keshet, a rainbow, a nasi, that's the Rosh Bezdin of Klal Yisrael, and the Kohanim when they do the Birchat Kohanim. Rabbi Soloveitchik, in his famous Sefer Al HaTshuva, explains this Gemara in a magnificent way. What does he say? What do you mean if you see these three things, your eyes are dim or you're like blind? What does that mean? And he takes each one step by step. If a person can look at a keshet, if a person can look at a rainbow, a beautiful vision of a rainbow in all its glorious color stretched over a magnificent sky, and not realize that Hashem is responsible for this beauty, then he is blind. And there are many times when we can go and see great things in nature when we never really attribute it to Hashem. But he says, that's wrong. You are essentially being blind to a reality. You see a beautiful keshet, it's obviously its creator was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person can look at the Nasi of Klal Yisrael. Nasi is the, not a president, the head of Klal Yisrael, the Rosh Beis Din. He's the head of the judiciary, according to the Rambam. And he hears the depth of the understanding of Torah with all its nuances. If he can listen to the pilpul and the svaros and the ideas of this intellectual genius and not feel instinctively the presence of Hashem and not feel that this chachma is part of a never-ending well of God's eternal chachma, then he is blind. If he sees only a nasi standing before him and he does not see the person as representative of Hashem's presence in the whole world, then he is blind. And we do many times see people who are very brilliant and think, boy, is he a smart one. Where did he go to college? Where did he go to yeshiva? What a brilliant mind. But we have to know that those things that he is teaching and those things that he's learning are of essence coming from the chachma of Hashem. When we see a chacham, we see a wise man, we say a bracha. Shechalak michachmato lireyav. We say the bracha that Hashem apportioned from his wisdom to those that fear him. We do not bless the chacham himself, but the chacham who got the chachma from the wisdom of Hashem. So too, okay, so each one is the same kind of an idea. The keshet is a natural beauty that we have to understand comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The nasi is talking about the chachma, the wisdom of the Torah, and that is of essence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we get to our story. So too, it is with the person who sees a Kohen blessing Klal Yisrael. If all he sees is one human being blessing another, he's blind. He must realize that there is something much deeper going on, that the Shekhinah itself is present, Chazal say, between the fingers of the Kohen as he blesses the Jewish people. Rabbi Soloveitchik explains the complexity of Birchas Kohanim. It is not enough for the Kohen to merely recite the three psukim of Birchas Kohanim, Yevarechacha, Ya'er, Yisa. Rather, there is a unique element present only in Birchas Kohanim that is not present in any other mitzvah. The brachos have to be said be'ahava, with love. What is the bracha they say before they duchen? Asher kidishano bikdushato shel Aaron, v'tzivanu levarech et amo Yisrael be'ahava. Hashem that has sanctified us with the sanctity of Aaron and commanded us to bless the Jewish people be'ahava, with love. Also, before the actual recitation of the bracha, there is a special Yehi Ratzon, a special short prayer that they say. Yehi Ratzon, let it be, Hashem. Shetehe ha-bracha hazot, let this bracha we're about to say, shetzivitanu levarech et amcha Yisrael, that we are going to bless the nation. Bracha shlema, let it be a complete bracha. And let there not be any sin or entrapment from now and forever. What entrapment? What trap are they afraid of here that they don't talk about in any other mitzvah? The Kohen is afraid he may not bless Ba'ahava. Because if there is no ahava, if he doesn't bless his fellow Jew with love, it is not a bracha shlema, Rabbi Soloveitchik explains. This bracha cannot be said like a stranger who says what he says rotely and with little concern. If it is said that way, it is not a bracha. It is not complete. Now we can begin to understand why it's dafka the Kohanim who are the conduit for the Birchas Kohanim. The Kohanim are uniquely qualified for this mission of blessing Ba'ahava with love. The mission in Pirkei Avos, Aleph Yud Bez says, Heveimi Talmidav Shel Aaron, Ohev Shalom, Brodev Shalom, Ohev Et HaBriot Umekarvan La Torah. Be like the students of Aaron. Love peace, run after peace. Love all beings and bring them close to Torah. This mita of ahava, is in the gene pool of the Kohen family. And it's passed down to them from one Kohen to the next, starting from Aaron. When they came to Eretz Yisrael and everybody else got a portion, Shevet Levi did not get a portion. Hashem hu nachlato, God was his portion. Their entire being is devoted to the service of Hashem and the service of Bnei Yisrael in the Beit HaMikdash. The concern for others and not their own self-aggrandizement was the lot of Shevet Levi. It was the lot of the Kohanim. And we know, as Rav Dessler says, the more you give, the more you love. The more we give to others, the more we love. So now we can see the importance of the connection of Ahava and the Kohanim. The Kohanim are Ahavei Yisrael. And so they are the ones who are chosen, picked to be the emissaries, to be the conduits for the bracha of Hashem that is said via love. Okay? Now that we understand that and the importance of Ahava, now we can understand some of the very interesting halachos, laws that we learn about Birchas Kohani. For instance, in Hilchas Nesias Kapayim, in Orach Chaim, it says, Kol Kohen delo rachim la'ama lo yisa kapav. Any Kohen that does not love the nation, he should not come up and do Birchas Kohanim. It was an integral part, a need of a Kohen to be able to have that love. Otherwise, he could not stand in front of the nation and bless them. An avel cannot duchen. A person in his either year or month of avelus, of mourning, after having lost a loved one, does not go up and bless Birchas Kohani. Why not? An avel does all other mitzvos. Why not this one? Obviously, he's able to technically read the psukim of Birchas Kohani. But
it can't be with Ahava.
Exactly. He is not able to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. Thank you. Ba'ava. Why? Because a person who's sad, a depressed by personal tragedy, cannot truly express Ahava for Klal Yisrael. He cannot totally see beyond his own personal lot and want to give of himself totally to others. It's not, he's not a bad person, chas v'shalom, but you're so involved in what you're doing that you cannot see beyond. Tuv ayin hu yivarech. Who is capable of blessing is somebody who has a good eye, wants good for others, okay? The Rambam says, when he describes how Birchas Kohanim takes place, he says the following. I'm going to read it to you. It's really beautiful. The Rambam says that when the Kohanim came up to Duchim, when they came up to bless, Ondim Sham Pneihem Lahechal Va'achareihem Klapei Ha'am, they would stand facing the ark in front of them. Va'achareihem, and their backs would be to the nation. Ve'etzba'otehem kfufot latoch kapehem. And their fingers were closed. I'm doing it in front of you. I know you can't see me, but it's as if you would take your hands now and close them up, your fingers in a clench, right? In a clenched fist. They would have their fingers closed in a clenched fist. Ad she'yashlim shliach tzibur ha'hoda'a. Until they would finish modim. Okay? That part of modim right before birchas kohani. Ve'rak az, the Rambam says, and only then, machsirav p'nehem klapei ha'am, then they would turn themselves around towards the nation, uposhtim etzba'otehem, they would open their hands and spread their fingers, umagavavim yedehem k'negi tafehem, and they would lift their hands to their shoulders, and then they would start saying yivarechecha, you know, the brachos themselves. So of course, this, you know, that when they're doing this, they are covered with a talis, and it's very interesting. As we mentioned this before, Chazal say that when they open their fingers, Hashem, the Shekhinah of Hashem is, so to speak, between their fingers. God himself is, so to speak, there ready to bless them. And that's why we don't look. They're covered in their talis. We don't look because we have to be careful. This is quite a holy site, right? And the Rav says, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, you know, sometimes you'll see people, they don't want to look, so they'll turn their backs, you know. He says, no, if in essence the Shekhinah is between the hands of the Kohanim, you must have respect and face forward, but just not look. Okay? Anyways, the Rambam says, it's a mitzvah to Araisa that when they are mevarech, their hands are open. Before he says, their hand must be closed in a fist. Why the emphasis on opened and closed fingers? And why the Chazal say Shechina Shruya Bein Etzbotav, that the Hashem is between their hands? Again, why the fingers? And it's interesting, you know, when Moshe came down from Shemaim after he got the Torah, you know, he had like carne or, you know, didn't talk about the Shechina and fingers or hands, it was something else. What is going on here? So Rabbi Soloveitchik suggests that the fingers represents man's desire to please himself. Their fingers on man's hand, you know, when we close our hands, we're grabbing for ourselves, so to speak. You know, we use our hands, we take what we want for ourselves, even Chas v'Shalom to rob, to take something away for ourselves. And when Hashem wants to tell us to give tzedakah, it's interesting. The pasuk says, "Lo tikpot yatcha me'achicha ha'evyon." Don't close your hand from your poor brother. We cannot close our hands from giving to our brothers. We give to ourselves. We want for ourselves. Our hands are closed. The kohen during birchas hakohanim must open his hands wide. And at that point, he blesses Hashem. Closing his hands to the needs of Klal Yisrael is the farthest thing from the minds of the Kohanim. Rather, his hands are open wide to be the pipeline through which the brachos, the blessings of Hashem, will pass to the Jewish people. And that's what we say, v'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarachem. And you will put my name upon b'nei Yisrael and I will bless them. They say, birchas kohanim. What's going on? Hashem, who loves to shower down bracha via those who love to give. You get it? Hashem is there between their fingers. Hashem is the one who wants, is ready to shower down the bracha. And he uses the Kohanim, who are those that love to give to Klal Yisrael. It's in their nature to be givers to Klal Yisrael. Before the Brachat Kohanim begins, he is a normal human being with a closed fist. The moment the Duchanim begins, the moment the Baal Tefillah says Kohanim, a change occurs, a metamorphosis occurs. His hands open, his heart opens, and with this love, the bracha flows. It's really very beautiful. Kol hamistakel b'shlosha dvarim einav kehot, keshet nasi kohanim. Anyone who could be present at the Berachat Kohanim and only see a regular human being blessing others is blind. Anyone who does not feel the unique relationship between the Kohanim and Klal Yisrael at the time of the bracha, who does not feel the flow of love that envelops the kehilah, the congregation at the time of the duchening, is missing an essential element of Birchat Kohanim, the Ava. This love mimics the love a father displays to a son. We all know Erev Yom Kippur, when a father blesses his child, as a mother sees her children being blessed. At this moment, we see a flowing of love from the father to the child. So too, it is meant to be the Ava of the Kohanim at the time of Birchat Kohanim. When we experience that sensation, we can't help but ask how it is possible for people to open their hearts so much to others, to want to be, to give so freely and so totally, to be so selfless. And the answer is obvious, that the love of the Kohanim is a reflection of Hashem's great love for us and all of his creations. It's very interesting that, you know, so far we've said that in the bracha that Hashem says, Asher Kishanu, right, Levareches, Abcha Yisrael, Ba'ahava, that the Kohanim have to have this midah of Ava when they bless Klal Yisrael. My husband showed me something very beautiful, I thought. It's a paper shipper, but Yerucham Fischel Perlo on Sefer HaMitzvos, not of the Sefer HaChinuch, but of the Rasag. And he says something very nice. It's very beautiful. He wants to say, based on a Gemara in Sota, that the Gemara in Sota says, Minayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mitaveh LeBirchat Kohanim. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu desires, has a yearning for to have this blessings of the Kohanim that will bless Klal Yisrael. And what he says is the word ba'ahava is not necessarily the ava that the Kohanim have to display, but it's indicative of the ava that Hashem has. Hashem has such love for us and wants to show this love so much that he tells the Kohanim to bless us. And this is out of God's love for us. And it reminds me, you know, how they always say, more than a child wants to nurse from the mother wants to nurse the child. I always thought that was such a profound statement, and it's so true. Of course, the child wants the milk. Of course, the child wants the bracha, the blessing of the milk from her mother. But more than that, it's the parent who wants to give to the child. Just as we need to see beyond the beauty of the rainbow and see the greatness of God's creation in it, and just as we must see the genius of the Nasi and see the source as coming from Hashem's greatness of understanding, so too we must see not just the Kohen standing before us in his love for Klal Yisrael. Through them, we realize the ultimate love Hashem has for his people. The ultimate father is Hashem. He wants nothing more than to give the blessing to us. And so, back to our initial question, why didn't Hashem just bless us directly? What does Rashi mean, Va'ani avorachem, I will bless them, I will bless Yisrael, and I will agree with what the Kohanim say? Through the Kohanim, we realize the ultimate love Hashem has for us, the overflowing love Hashem has for us, and realize that that capacity, that capability is in us as well. Every Jew is commanded to imitate God. Mahalakta b'drachav, you're supposed to walk in the ways of Hashem. Mahu rachum, he is merciful, so you should be merciful. God loves his brios, so too we should love our brios. That's a tall order for us, particularly as it applies to selfless love that Hashem showers upon us with his brachos. By deputizing the Kohanim to bless us with selfless love, each and every day, as they do in most of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah demonstrates concretely that it is indeed within the human to react and to be able to live ba'ahava, to live our lives as Aaron HaKohen did and his children and his grandchildren and ultimately Kohanim when they bless us. Ohev shalom, v'rodev shalom, ohev et habriot, umakarvan latorah. That's really where what we should exit with when we walk away from Birchat Kohanim. The love Hashem has for us, his love that he wants to shower upon us, the gift he gave us of the Kohanim to be exemplar mentors of this Midah of Avas Yisrael, so that we can then be the recipients of this, the brachos that Hashem have, and be able then to be Ohev Ave Yisrael as well. Thank you. Okay, anybody have any questions that they'd like to ask? It's my pleasure.
Yeah, I
have, not a question.
I have, I just want to review the three things about the rainbow, the
yes.
Rasi, and the Kohen. Yeah, those are, where is that statement? Could you repeat that statement?
Sure. It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Chagiga. It's Tet Zion. It's 16, and it's quoted by a person named Reish Lakish, okay? And Rabbi Soloveitchik expands upon it and tries to explain to us what it means that he that sees these three things, his eyes are like blinded, are like dimmed. And, right. And that's where he takes it. He expands upon that. And okay?
Oh, so what you're saying is that, but you have, in order to be blinded in a certain way, that recognizing the awesome of it, because
right, it doesn't mean literally blinded. It means blinded from the reality of the situation.
But you were saying before that if you look at a rainbow and you don't identify the greatness of the beauty of the rainbow as coming from Hashem, then you are mm-hmm. blind.
Right.
You are blinded.
Metaphysically blinded.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, right. What we're trying to say is we think we're seeing, but we're not seeing.
That's
we
right.
think we see it all, but we are not seeing.
But the Gemara is saying the opposite. The Gemara is saying those who recognize that these three things, go ahead, say it again. What does the Gemara okay. say?
What he's saying, 100%. What the Gemara is saying is he that looks at it, at these three things, enough kehos, his eyes are like blinded. What does that mean? If they see them just at face value, so to speak, okay. then he is saying he's blinded. Okay,
I maybe understand.
That. Yes. Okay.
Yes. My pleasure. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I have a question. My pleasure. Yeah, sure.
Thank you so much for such an outstanding sheer. I just wanted to ask you a question. With the rainbow, isn't it incumbent upon us when we see a rainbow, there's a bracha we have to say. So that's basically seeing that Hashem is the source.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Okay. But, you know, I don't know. I guess basically what he's just trying to say is there are those who probably don't do it, or that do see it, say the bracha, don't think about what they're saying and just go on. But I think it's just trying to talk about seeing deeper into really what there is in the natural world, or things that you think you get and you're not getting. And that's where he's finding this common denominator.
Thank you so much. God bless you. It was a wonderful shiur.
At the end, I missed what you said, that just like the Kohanim, someone needs to be muted. I can't hear myself. Okay. So just as the Kohanim have the capability and the Ahava to open up their hearts, you know, through Ahava and blessing, we have the gene as well within us through, what were you saying?
I didn't say, what I said was that there's something special about the Kohanim, that they come from Aaron, and this was one of his outstanding attribute. And we see this carried through in the Torah via them. And what I'm just trying to say is God has them being the pipeline, so to speak, those that allow the blessing to emanate from God and come down to us through them, because they have such love for Klal Yisrael, which is really the source of why God is blessing us in the first place, correct? And so it's a beautiful thing to see when you're in shul, this giving via them. And that's why he would use this particular midah, this particular attribute, via these people. It's a little bit different than what the chinuch said at the beginning, but it doesn't matter. But anyways.
I know, I understand what you're saying, but also there's something within us that we have the potential as well.
That's the concept of, you know, we all want to be the recipients of blessing. We all want to be the recipients of blessing. But the point of the matter is we can be recipients of blessing, but we should want to be the givers of blessing as well. By loving others, we want to be able to give to others also. So it's sort of like, it's a, right? You know, God pays back those who deserve it. And
could you explain?
It's not just the Kohanim that have it.
Said about standing in shul?
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you ask me again?
Could you explain how our presence in shul, what our demeanor should be and how we should stand?
Oh, okay. So the way I understand it is, if we look at it via how the chinuch explains it, it's this: if we are standing there ready to, you know, it's almost as we stand there and ready to be the receptacle of God's blessing, which means we're standing there. It's almost as if when you're standing there, you bent a bit, you know, humbled, because what you're doing is you're saying to Hashem, we need your bracha, right? We have done the best we can. Please help us the best you can. And we stand there humbly while this service takes place that God has set in motion for us to be able to get the bracha. It's like we're where we're supposed to be, that there, the Kohen is in his place, transferring the words, the exact words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem waits for this. Oh, you know what? There was such a great line. Let me see if I can find it really fast. the Rabbi Soloveitchik said, oh, here, let me just see. It was so beautiful.
And he also says, how we should stand again.
Yeah, you know, how you're standing. Oh, facing, he says, facing the Kohanim. Not turning your back on the Kohanim, facing the Kohanim. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, thank you for clarifying.
Okay, yeah, and I just want to mention something because I thought it was so beautiful. You know, when you're saying, thank you for mentioning that because I wanted to mention this other thing. The Rav says, the priest, I'm reading from his, the Chumash, with the commentary based on the teachings of Joseph V. Soloveitchik. He says, the priestly blessing is thus a face-to-face rendezvous between God and the Jewish people.
Beautiful.
I thought there was a great line, no? In light of this idea, it is important that the congregation face the Kohanim directly during the recitation of the blessing.
It's should from our eyes be closed because we're not supposed to be looking?
You're not supposed to look.
You don't look directly at the Kohanim, but you face them directly.
Yeah, you don't look, you face, you're facing them. You're not looking. I look down, you know what I'm saying? And that's, you know, but I think this concept of being like a rendezvous between, and again, it's a rendezvous between Hashem, who's between the fingers, so to speak, whatever that means, whose presence is there, and us, the way the Rav's saying it, and the Kohanim are the vehicle, right? They're not the ones giving, they're not the source of the blessing. They're the vehicle so that the blessing could flow.
Beautiful.
Did you explain why they hold their fingers the way they do?
Only thing that I got here, and I'm not going to pretend I know lots of halacha, okay? I know what I learned, okay? That the Rav is talking about just the idea that I know that they're supposed to be, that they hold their fingers in a certain way, they're divided in a certain way. I don't know why that's okay, and I'm not going to pretend to tell you that I do. The only thing I did speak about that he makes a big deal out in this Al HaTshuva article is that they're spread out, that they're not a fist, that you're opening yourself up for others. You can only be a source of bracha if your heart is open to others. You can't be tight-fisted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Before Birchat Kohanim, their fists are clenched?
Before, when they come up and you see them, you know, by the Aron, by the Ark, right? And they're facing with their backs to us. Yes, that's what he's saying here. They're up, they're facing forward, their hands are clenched. Then after, when they turn around, after Modim, then they turn around, and as they turn around, they open their hands, whichever exactly how their fingers exactly are, I don't know, that's not my thing, but they're opened, they're raised to their shoulders, and it's as if, and then it's like Hashem is, his Shechina is between their hands, so to speak, that there's a presence, there's this rendezvous, so to speak, as the Rav calls it. And then the bracha begins. I mean, it's magnificent.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Sister,
are you happy?
No, yeah. Hold on a second. I know some people that, some synagogues, and synagogues, they do it different ways. Some people rush through it. They rush through the Kohanim. They don't go over the whole thing of
Also, you know what that is? Sometimes it's also when. There's a little difference the way they do Birchas Kohanim on Shabbos and the way they do it on, pardon me? My husband's here. It's always good because he knows more than I do. I'm sorry?
We don't do Birchas Kohanim on Shabbos.
No, but the way we...
That's only the Chassan saying this part of
Shabbos. So what is she, they, if they rush through it, listen, I don't know. There are many different shuls and I don't know.
Now, what I'm saying, rush through it, instead of going through, some people do that. And then there was a congregation, they just say,
I don't know. So those are minhagim. You know, different people do. There are different minhagim, different customs from different places, right. And different shuls do different kinds of things that I can't speak to either.
Right.
And there's no right or wrong in this particular thing here. I'm not, you know, I'm just trying to give you this sense of what the place of the people, the Kohen, Hashem, Ani Avarachem, you know, a little bit of an idea of what that's all about.
What about the melody in between where it says about the dream?
I hear all those questions. I did not research all that, so I'm not going to speak to it. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you and your husband and family.
Okay. All the best.
All right.
Thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you, hopefully.
Okay.
All the best.
All right. Good night.
Thank you. Thank you very much.